If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew 5, verse 9. That's Matthew 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I join with Brother Cliff in welcoming you here to our services. We're happy that you're with us. It's especially nice to see, as Cliff mentioned, some of our members who haven't been able to be with us for a while. So we're really happy to see you, and we invite all of you to come back and be with us at each and every opportunity that you have to do so. Got the call late last night from Cliff telling us of what has happened to Gene. So I began to go to work on a lesson for this morning for you. And I got down to my office in the basement, and I started to try to outline a lesson. And about 10 minutes into that, the phone rings, and I look over. We have caller ID, and I look over, and I see it's Cliff. Now, my first inclination is when Cliff calls is to yell upstairs and tell Becky, it's just another solicitation call. Let the answering machine get it. But I grabbed it. It's Cliff, and he's telling me some things. And I said, yeah, okay. All right, that's fine. Okay, sounds good. We hang up. I get back to my lesson. About 10 minutes later, the phone rings again. I look over, and it's Cliff. And my first inclination is to yell upstairs to Becky, it's another solicitation, let the answering machine get it, but I answer it. He starts into telling me this and that and the other, and all right, that sounds good, that's fine, that's good, okay, see you tomorrow, all right. So I get back to my lesson. About 10 minutes later, I hear the front door open, and I hear our son come into the house. And he goes into the TV room and says to his mother hello, and says, where's Dad? She says, oh, he's down the basement. He's working on a lesson for tomorrow morning. Okay. I hear the basement door open. Down comes Randall. How you doing, Dad? I said, okay. So what are you up to? Oh, working on a lesson for tomorrow morning. He said, oh, okay. So, well, I won't stay, so I don't want to keep you. He said, I'll just take off. He said, oh, wait. He said, did you see that YouTube video about so-and-so? About 20 minutes long. He says, you ought to see that. He says, really good. I said, no, I hadn't seen that. So then he sits down and he proceeds to tell me about it. So after about 15 minutes, he says, well, he says, Dad, you probably ought to get after your lesson. I said, yeah, that'd probably be a good idea. I'll get to work on that. And he goes back upstairs. So now it's getting close to, it's getting beyond 9 o'clock, 9:30 or so. And I'm not much good after 10 o'clock. Becky would tell you I'm not much good before 10 o'clock. But anyway, so this lesson was kind of hastily thrown together, but I hope at the end of it that you'll find it to be of some benefit. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. In our world today, there is no shortage of conflicts and wars. The 24-hour news cycle in which we live provides us an all too vivid look at a world full of tensions and hatreds and conflicts. Trying to maintain peace is a 365-day-a-year, 24/7 job for the diplomats or the peacekeepers of the peace-seeking nations. Christians, though, by contrast, are not only to function as peacekeepers, but more so as peacemakers. As was read in your hearing this morning, Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, early in his ministry, pronounced a blessing on peacemakers, stating that such shall be called the children of God. In that same lesson and chapter, Jesus instructed the hearers to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that we might be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Matthew 5, 44, 45. In each of these two passages, children of God is tied to the aspects of human relationships. Now, the question I'd like to ask this morning for you to consider is, how well do I relate to others? Do peace and love prevail in my relationships, both among those within the household of faith and among those outside the brotherhood? To the saints in Rome, the Apostle Paul instructed, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 12:18. Few things can be more damaging within the brotherhood than the absence of harmony and peace. To the brethren at Thessalonica, the Apostle Paul exhorted, be at peace among yourselves. Thessalonians 5:13. As Christians, we are instructed throughout the scriptures to seek peace with all men, especially with our fellow Christians. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10. Brethren, let me ask you, do we look for opportunities to render good to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Many things in our lives today can bring about discouragement: illness, injury, loss of a job, death of a loved one, and so much more. These are opportunities in our lives of our fellow brothers and sisters when edification is called for. Perhaps a simple card, maybe a phone call, a personal visit. These things can change a day of loneliness and discouragement into a day of encouragement. Sadly, today, from time to time, we hear or learn of strife or contentions among brethren. These can be and have been harmful to the cause of Christ. There are any one of a number of ways in which strife can enter into a congregation. One way for problems to arise among brethren is where there is a lack of willingness to work or labor for the cause of Christ. This lack of industry was a problem in the church among the brethren at Thessalonica, so much so that the Apostle Paul had to call them out for it. In 2 Thessalonians 3:11, Paul writes, "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." It would appear that some in the body of Christ were lacking for something to do or some work of their own, so they saw fit to involve themselves in the affairs of others, and thereby being described as busybodies. In verse 11 in chapter 4 of of 1 Thessalonians, Paul beseeched the brethren to do your own business and work with your own hands, as we have commanded you. Friends, brethren, one of the ways we promote peace and live peaceably among our brothers and sisters in Christ is to remain busy in his vineyard, helping to carry out the work of the church. Let us always be busy and never be busybodies. Another problem that arises from time to time within the brotherhood that threatens peace is the spreading of rumors or gossiping, the failure to control our tongues. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26, we read, "If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless." The proverb writer wrote, "For the lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Proverbs 26:20. Nowhere in the scriptures do we find a greater lesson of the dangers of the tongue than in the third chapter of the book of James. If you will, open your Bibles to James chapter 3 and follow along with me, beginning with verse 1. That's James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. James writes, "My brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, We put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now think for just a moment about that line right there. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We see from time to time, especially in the summertime, we see great forest fires out west. Now those great forest fires that consume tens of thousands of acres, they just don't erupt as a massive wildfire. They start with a little spark. Friends, that's what the tongue can do. With just one or two words, we can start a whole wildfire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Now listen to what he writes next. But the tongue can no man tame. Now you might say, well, Brother Randy, then what's the point of this whole conversation? Can't be done. Scripture says so. It's not what the Scriptures is telling us. What the Scriptures is telling us is that we constantly have to guard our tongue. Be on guard. It says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the same similitude of God, the same likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy, to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Friends, righteousness, godliness, comes from the sowers of peace. It comes from peacemakers. So let us strive to control the tongue, never engaging in idle gossip, never participating in the sharing of rumors. I've said many a time, just because we know something, even though we know it to be true, does not demand that we share it or spread it. Another thing that serves to promote peace and harmony within the body of Christ is appreciation. A mutual respect, if you will, for each other and for those appointed to the responsibility of authority. To Timothy, Paul wrote concerning elders, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor or respect, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:17. Elders in the brotherhood today face many challenges, not the least of which is a government threatening our First Amendment rights, the First Amendment rights of the church. It is clear, short of some major changes in the political landscape, that this threat will only continue to grow. Brethren in the church, we need to be preparing for the role of an elder, men willing to face head-on this challenge to our religious freedom, men dedicated to the spreading of the gospel and not yielding. Men who desire this position in the church should, as Paul encouraged Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. For so long as I can recall, the brethren here at Hillview have been hardworking, kind to, and supportive of our eldership. That makes the responsibility of the elders so much easier to carry out, and we appreciate you for being as you are. Brethren, we pray always for peace around the world, here at home, and certainly within the church. True world peace remains elusive, but let us do all that is in our power to see that there is peace and tranquility and harmony and love among the brethren. Occasionally we hear of strife within our brotherhood, but let each of us do our part to promote harmony and peace. Let each of us be known within the household of faith and to all others with whom we come in contact as peacemakers and as such children of God. Lastly, let me ask you this morning, are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? He would love to add you to this body, to his body this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God with all your heart? Do you believe that? Are you willing to come repenting of sins in your life, confessing his name before this audience this morning and before God? Are you willing and do you desire to be buried in the waters of baptism and to emerge from those waters free of all sin, ready to begin to walk the Christian life? Or have you once obeyed the gospel, but you've fallen back into the world, you've fallen back into a world of darkness and sin? Are you desiring to be restored to the household of faith? Do you desire to be restored to the fold of safety? If you do, please think on these things as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement. If you're subject to that song of invitation, won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?